Mr. Mike Hall, Rio 1. Could you tell me when and where you were born, Mr. Hall?
I was born in Westminster, halfway between Vauxhall Bridge and Victoria Station.
And
on the 15th of October, 1920.
And could you tell us a bit about your family background? They lived in that area, did they?
They lived there in a quite a large, it was a rented house. You know, you had the basement and then ground, first, second and an attic. So it was very pleasant.
And what did they do for a living?
My father was a manager of property in central London.
So a reasonable income from that?
Yes. I mean, I had two brothers and two sisters.
Had he served in the First World War?
He served in the Navy, but not on ship. He was stationed down in Plymouth.
And give us a bit of an idea of your childhood. What was your childhood like as far as you were concerned? Happy?
Oh, yes. Yes. I didn't like going to school, but...
Well, tell us about your education. Which school were you at?
Well, I started at the local one. And then I went to this Archbishop Temple's Central School in Lambeth Road.
Now tell us about that school. Just give us an idea what your education was like.
Well, it was average, but nothing special. It was a very pleasant school, nice. It was right by the park. There's a park, and our playground, as it were, had an entrance into the park where you had the football pitches and things. I did like sport.
Which sports were you particularly keen on?
Well, cricket and football.
I
played for the school, yes. Well, no, nothing brilliant, but good enough to do that. And I swam for the school, but there again I wasn't particularly.
Now, what about academically? Which subjects did you like or were good at?
I wasn't particularly good academically.
What was your problem? Which subject?
I was thick.
Do you like any subjects?
None stood out really, just a general, as long as I'd got enough to get by. I suppose I must have absorbed enough to pass the Air Force test later on, you know, to get into
Air Force. Did you get your school certificate?
No, there weren't such things then, as I remember.
How old were you when you left school?
I was just a couple of months over 16, that was the...
You stayed quite late then?
Yes.
That'd be, what, 36?
That would be 36.
And what did you do? What job did your father have planned for you all?
Well, no, he didn't. I went to work for a small engineering firm in Paddington, Parade Street, Paddington, which is no longer there.
And what were you doing for the engineering firm?
I was in the office and did a bit of drawing, you know, draftsmanship kind of thing.
Was it a formal apprenticeship or was it just...
No, just...
Did you enjoy the work?
Well, it was, yes, it was quite... because I had to go out on jobs to... People wanted certain small engineering jobs done and you had to go and take measurements and things like this. But, of course, that lasted only 3 years because 39, there I was.
Now, you seem to have joined a TA. Now, before we go on, you've deposited a copy of your memoirs, What Did You Do in the War, Daddy, with the Department of Documents, so people can also consult that at the museum.
Yes.
But that will be, when I make references to things, that's what I'm getting from. Now, were you very aware of the approach of war? Because you joined up, you know...
Yes. Well, I joined up because it was announced that they were going to be conscription. So but if you joined the Territorial Army, you wouldn't be conscripted. So myself and a friend joined the Territorials.
Now, which two Territorials did you join?
We there wasn't much choice actually, and we joined the London Irish Rifles in King's Road, Chelsea.
And that's the barracks at the
Duke of York's barracks. That's right, Duke of York's barracks.
London Irish, what did they have numbers? Do you know what battalion number it was?
I'm not sure. I think it was the 2nd Battalion, but I wouldn't swear to that.
We'll try and check that out. Mm. So, now, what happened when you joined? Tell us about how you actually went about joining, because, you know, what did you have to do to get in?
Well, you had to go to the barracks. to the Dookie Oaks. They took your details, and that was more or less it.
There was no sort of tests or anything else?
No, I think they were glad to have us.
Now, what you joined, what, 12th of April? 39, looked at it.
Early 39, I think it was.
Right. So, what training did you get? Tell us about the drill nights. What were you learning?
You were learning more about weapons, like the Bren gun and things like that.
What about drill?
Drill, certain amount of it, but not a lot.
So it was more weapons training?
Mm, yeah.
And what do you remember about the weapons training? How much did you actually do?
Very difficult to say that I hope I'm not. I think there were a couple of meetings a week that you had to attend. But it was just general.
You don't remember much about it?
Not really.
It is a long time ago.
Yes.
What about your camps?
We had a camp in the August 39, early August, down in the New Forest. And of course, September.
And what do you remember about the camp in August?
Oh, there was general field training, route march. But it, looking back, it was quite pleasant. It wasn't really onerous. And I enjoyed it.
So where were you when the war was declared?
At home.
Do you remember that? It's the old joke. Do you remember the day war broke out?
I remember.
Did you hear the broadcast? What did you think?
Well, no, actually, I was called into the... called up from the territorials at the end of August.
So, before, well, in the last week...
And when war was declared, we were stationed in Eaton Square...
But what happened when you were called up?
We had to report to the Duke of York's headquarters, and they found us billets around that area until we moved to Eaton Square, very posh. And I remember when war was declared, they called us all out on parade, and out we went. I don't know what they expected us to do.
Did you hear the broadcast?
Yes, yes.
What did you think? You know, how did it affect you?
Nothing special. I mean, it was expected. And I thought, well, that's it. Here we are.
And what were your billets like in Eaton Square? That's Eaton Square with E-A.
E-A-T-O-N, Eaton Square.
What were the billets like? Can you describe them?
Well, it was in one of these, I mean, they're very large houses. It's a very upmarket area, isn't it? No, it was very basic. We slept on the floor, rifle by our side.
Were the owners still there?
No, completely empty.
But it was empty. Furnished or not furnished?
No.
So completely bare?
Yeah.
Now, I know you don't know exactly what happened next, so we're going to have to be fairly general
about
your movements, because you don't remember. You didn't remember when you wrote your memoirs. Give us an impression of your of the initial period then.
Well, we travelled about. Why, it was never explained to us, but quite a few places, which I mentioned in there. And it was the usual field training and
seemed to go to Putney first.
We went to Putney.
What were you doing there?
Training on the Putney Heath, marching. It all seemed rather pointless, I suppose, to us at the time, but no doubt it was very basic. And a lot of it was guarding, later on, was guarding, sensitive points. We went to an airfield at, I think it's Ickenham, near Ruislip, where we had to do regular guards and turn out if there was any trouble. It was an RAF station, not an airfield, I don't remember. But
now, what were you actually doing? You seem to have become company clerk.
Yes.
What were your duties as company clerk?
A clerk? Well, it was to run the company office. I could type, you see. I could use a typewriter, which was a necessary thing.
And which company it was?
Well, it was HQ company. No, G company. G company to start with. G company.
And then you moved.
And then I went into the HQ company for quite a while until I disgraced myself.
How?
Well, I eventually ended up in the transport section. And although I was never given the driving lessons, I used to go out with chaps and just picked it up and thought I was, you know, all right. And we were down somewhere near Littlehampton, and I'd got this 1,500-weight lorry we had to drive and do various pick-up things. And, on the way back to the headquarters one day, two of us thought we'd race one another. And Muggins here went off the road, knocked down a telegraph pole, ruined the 1500 weight, and that was the end of my office work. I was put back to duties.
So, now, you were also put up for a possible commission. Tell me what happened about that. You seem to have gone to an officer's training cadet unit in Moor Park. It's quite close.
Ah, that was just as a clerk in the office.
Oh, because there wasn't a question of you.
No.
Anything you remember about your other places?
Nothing particularly. Some of them were pleasant. You know, we travelled down to Wales, Chichester. Chichester was very nice. I liked Chichester.
What do you remember? What were you doing there?
That was just general training. It was round about the time of Dunkirk, I think, and we had to be on guard quite a bit.
And anything you remember about this time? It's not your thing, this bit. You don't remember this as well as your later.
No.
You go on an admin course to Bulwell. What do you remember of that?
That was very interesting. There were so many army forms this and army forms that you had to try and remember. But it was, I suppose, being in the office quite a bit, they thought, well, it's the obvious chap to send on one. But whether it did me any good, I don't know.
You also had a dispute with an officer, a transport officer, about being...
Oh, yes.
Well, I'm not sure it was a transport, it was a company command, you know.
No, he was a little second lieutenant, quite a new... I think he was younger than I was. And I think he was playing soldiers, really. But there was a big battalion exercise. And at that time, I was in the battalion transport office. You had to arrange, obviously, where vehicles went and what was wanted, what each company wanted. And somebody had to be in the office in case a vehicle was wanted at a certain place or something like that. And we had battalion orders and company orders, and on both of those it stated that I was excused going on the exercise. But this young chap came in when the exercise, said, why aren't you on the exercise? And I told him, that's not a load of rubbish. Spend a night in the guard room, and that was that. So I was on a charge. And when I came out in the morning to face the company commander, he said, have you got anything to say? And I remember now exactly what I said. Well, sir, my name appeared on battalion orders as being not being on the exercise. My name appeared on the company orders as not being on the exercise. So, rather foolishly, I suppose, I thought, well, I wasn't on the exercise. And he gave me a little smile, glared at this young lieutenant. Case dismissed. Which gave me great pleasure.
Now, Anything else you remember in these various moves? Were you ever near London during the bombing?
No. During the bombing, we were down in Haverford West in Wales. But I did come up one evening, as it happened, I had got a bit of leave, and it was the evening that they bombed London, really. And you could see this as we approached on the train. You could see the glow over London. I think that by the time we reached London, the worst of the bombing had stopped. But when we got out, of course, it was very late, and I couldn't get home. So I had to try and find somewhere to get down. But I do remember going round Trafalgar Square, Leicester Square area, where obviously a bomb had hit a gas main with this enormous flame going all over the place. But I did manage to get a bed at Queen Charlotte's Maternity Hospital, which was no longer a maternity hospital, but it was a services.
So the one in Euston Road?
That's the one in Euston Road. So I left, I slept there, and then came down home here.
And had your family moved to Watford? Well, this is... This
My family left our place in London.
When was that?
Early 1940, probably. And as my sister, my mother had a sister who lived in Watford, they moved down to Watford.
Was it Watford or Croxley?
Watford, yeah. So I used to come, on leave, I used to come down to Watford.
Now, anything you since, was Thetford the last place you were at before you left?
Yes, Thetford was the
what
last
place. What were you doing at Thetford? Just explain to me a bit. Is that where you were guarding?
Just wasting time. Well, to my idea it was. Because what we did, because Norfolk, the fields are quite large. And we had to dig this trench, you know, a deep trench, right across this enormous field.
Now, what was this trench for? It's part of the airport defence, or what?
Well, I presume it would have been, yes. But it's quite deep, you know, and wide, so you could get into it and walk around it. Well, that took some time, and then we had to fill it in.
This really wasn't much use,
no,
as far as you were concerned.
Not at all. Then.
Now, how long were you there for?
Then, well, it was a few months. It was quite a pleasant station, although it was Nissen Huts. It was not bad. And then there appeared on the battalion orders about volunteering for the RAF.
As what?
To train as a pilot. And
was it as a pilot or as an air crew?
Air crew, but yes. And I wasn't particularly enamoured with the life of the Irish and the Irish Rifles, because it seemed a bit pointless at that time. So I volunteered, and with another few chaps, and we were brought up to London, up to Holborn, where we had to have certain tests and physical tests, and, you know, maths and things like that.
Were they difficult?
Well, they can't have been, because I passed. No, they weren't too bad. So then you went back to the unit and waited. And the bombshell came sometime later that the RAF... A few of our chaps did leave and went over to Canada to train. One of my best friends went, but unfortunately he was killed over there training. And then came the bombshell that the army were fed up with the RAF pinching all what they thought were their best blokes, and there was going to be no more transfers. There was going to be no more. So I thought, well, we're resigned to this.
Not happy,
though. Not happy about it. And then it came along sometime later that...
Was it much later, or...?
Months, I suppose. that they wanted volunteers to become glider pilots. So
this is the glider pilot regiment?
Yeah. So I thought, well, that's for me.
Did you know anything about it at all?
Not really, no.
And when was this? It says March 42, would that be right?
No, that's when I actually
went. So when did you volunteer?
Well, it must have been late 41. And it came through the thing that I'd been accepted as far as joining the regiment. So we travelled from Norfolk up to Salisbury Plain, and joined this regiment at a place called Till's Head.
Now, is that the glider pilot regiment depot? Was it the depot at the time?
Yes, it was at the time. Yes, this was
at Till's Head camp.
It was at yes.
Now went there in March 42.
Yes,
so you'd had a three-four month wait again.
Yeah, yeah.
Now, what you got there?
The regiment was formed in February 42.
Now, tell me what happened when the journey down, because I know there's a story about your reception.
The reception at the gate with this great big...
Well, it's a well-known figure, isn't it? Tell us about it.
Yes. Well, several of us arrived at, I think it was Lavenham Station, and we were met by trucks and approached up to the, it was on a bit of a little hill, to the gates of the camp, and there was this great brute of a man from the Coldstream Guards, I think it was. You know, their caps came practically cover their eyes, but you could see his eyes glinting that there was another lot just knocked into shape.
And who was this chap?
This chap was CSM Cowley.
Now, how did he treat you when he got his hands on you then? I mean, at the station, what was he like?
Very fairly. I mean, he was tough and he knew his job. But he wasn't brutish, let me put it that way. Although you might have thought he was, but it did us good, knocked us into shape, no doubt about it. And I think everybody was happy, but you had to be very careful that you didn't blot your copybook in any way, because the famous initials RTU hung over our head all the time. In other words, return to unit.
Did that really bother you?
Well, it did, because I didn't want to go back. And I thought, well, here's a chance of learning to fly.
So you were desperate not to be sent back.
Yes, so you buckled down. Well, I always was a good boy.
Now, what about conditions of service? Because I believe it was much better than Till's Head. Tell me about that. We'll go on to the train.
Altogether different.
In what way?
In way that you had beds, you had sheets on the bed, whereas before you just blankets anywhere that... It wasn't so good. Well, it did have beds, but there was nothing refined about it. And you had a decent mess with proper plates and the chaps out serving you. And
now, there was a change in rank as well, because you were a private, weren't
you? Yes.
Yeah. Tell me what happened.
Well, you automatically became a corporal.
Did that make a difference? I mean, you know...
Not really, because, you know, a corporal in an ordinary regiment, you're right, you are a rank above the privates. But here, where everybody's corporal, it didn't make a lot of difference. They had staff there, not in the regiment, but on the site for cooking and things like this.
It's all told it was better.
Oh, much better, much better.
Now, what about that? Now, you were introduced to another key NCO, RSM
Briody.
Briody. B-R-I-O-D-Y.
D-Y. Irish chap.
Give me your opinion, because he seems to have made a big impression.
He did.
Tell me what you thought of Briody.
He did. He was quiet. He was the smartest chap I ever saw. He was quiet, but he had such an air of authority that you didn't well, not that you argue with the other ones, but you know, you just did, but and it, you knew that what he was telling you to do had a bit of sense. And he really was a great chap, the best non-commissioned officer in the. Well, my opinion was, he made the regiment. He really did.
Even more an influence than Cowley, then.
Yes. Yeah. It was his manner, his quiet manner.
Now, take me through the training. What do you remember of you? Because this is, in a way, you're back to basic training, aren't you?
We're back to basic training. We did cross countries and the usual thing. But
this is infantry training, isn't it?
Yes. We were supposed to be trained on anything, the complete soldier, so that once we'd gone into battle, we could do most things. But it never really came to that.
Was there any, how much training was there? I mean, what sort of things were there? Do you remember it?
It was pretty intensive. But the atmosphere was so different.
In what way?
Blokes were enjoying themselves. Whereas before, you were just doing something because you had to.
It generally seems more purposeful.
Yes, there was definite purpose. Everybody wanted to fly. And I suppose to be something different.
And you seem to have done most of this training in the morning. Now, what about in the afternoon? Because there you are doing something different. You're doing theoretical.
Theoretical, yes.
Now, air navigation, meteorology, aircraft recognition. Mm. Well, what do you remember about it? What about air navigation?
Well, having said that, it was such a short time between my arrival at Tilshead and then my departure to Derby to start the actual flying. It was only a matter of a few weeks.
So you didn't get far along?
No. But that was continued at Derby, of course.
So
but
these lectures were just a start on
this
stuff?
Yeah, just give you some idea of what was going on.
Anything else about your time at Tilshead?
Yes.
Did you make any friends or anybody you knew there?
There was nobody that I actually knew, but I did get friendly with one chap that I stayed with gaps right to the end.
Who
of
was
my
that?
A chap called Wally Holcroft.
Wally Holcroft.
You heard of Wally Holcroft?
Tell me about him.
Wally was an amazing he was about 7 years older than me. He was one of the oldest chaps there. He was an absolutely wonderful chap. He was very amusing, from Lancashire. Very amusing, a bit of a father figure, and he and I just clicked. Wonderful man.
And so right from the start you got on well with him?
Yeah. Although unfortunately we didn't go to the... He didn't come up to Derby, where the train
was. But you met
him
again later on.
Oh, we met him up later on.
Now, when did you go to Derby? It seems to me it was May.
Yes. Oh, my dear.